Get your Bible and turn again to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and I'll ask you to stand. Mark chapter 8. And in Mark chapter 8, we'll start reading again at verse 34. And in verse 34, it says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation," and amazing that can still be applied in this 21st century, "in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let's pray. Glorious God and Heavenly Father, we ask again your blessings upon us as we meet for to preach thy word. Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart to receive your word, eyes to see things perhaps that we've not seen before, that you open up our understanding and our minds and our hearts, O Lord, to give us a hearing ear to speak to us of this very needful subject, Lord, of the importance of not being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, even though we'll be addressing those who do name the name of Christ, Lord, I pray that you would also speak to those that are yet outside Christ, Lord. That if there's any shame or embarrassment that keeps them from coming to Christ, that you would break those barriers, Lord, and draw them with effectual grace and save, even this very day in our midst, some to the glory of your name. And so, God, we look to you. May thy word go in power. May thy spirit meet with us in truth, for we ask these things in your blessed name. Amen. Please be seated. We return again this morning to the subject of not being ashamed of Christ, or not being ashamed also of his word, the Bible. Again, this is a very important and pertinent subject for our day, because as we said last week, no doubt that we are living in perilous days, and thus the importance of maintaining our Christian conviction and testimony. As I said in my prayer, I'll be speaking directly, mostly to those that do name the name of Christ this morning, that God would arrest our soul, that we would never be ashamed of Christ. But also yet, those of you who are lost, I pray that God will speak to your hearts also. As followers of Christ, let us not give our God lip service, but a true, sincere heart service, H-E-A-R-T, heart service, that would be cemented and, of course, fortified in full allegiance, committed to the things and cause of the glory of Christ. We said last week that God would grace us to be like Joshua and Caleb, where we read there that what did they do? They wholly followed the Lord. And that is our Christian responsibility, that we name the name of Christ, that we are to wholly follow the Lord with our whole heart. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ makes some very important statements in this text. And one of them, toward the end of verse 34, when he says, Whosoever will, come after me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so he starts with these three important things that I believe is already in your heart. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, did you understand that if we are to come to Christ, coming to Christ also set forth three specific things, and that is that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And again, this is not an easy thing to do. It's hard, because we have not only the flesh we have to fight with, the aspect of sin, we have the world, we have Satan, we got so many things coming against us, but nonetheless, that's the purpose. Christ says, you need to deny yourself. You need to take up the cross and follow him. And therefore, we need that fixed faithfulness, having that permanent possession in our heart, excuse me, the permanent passion in our heart, a decided determination, no matter what happens, that we are willing to deny ourselves, take up his cross, or I should really say take up our cross, which is his cross in the sense also, and to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are we to follow Christ as described by him, but he also warns us in the following verses, in particular 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Again, what challenging questions to provoke us to evaluate our lives. Are we living for God? Or are we living for ourselves? I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times, my dear brethren, we only have one life to live. You can never come back and relive your life. You only have one life to live. Are you going to live it for God, or are you going to live it for yourself? Again, Paul would tell the Corinthians, and he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. We are not to live unto ourselves, but we are to live for him, that is Christ Jesus, who died for us and rose again. And so we are warned very carefully not to live for ourselves, but to live for who? For Christ. And so we have learned that being a Christian is more than having lip service, more than carrying a Bible, more than displaying some cross or a dove or a fish or stickers on, you know, on our cars or verses on the walls of our houses. All those things are good. But all of that is just mere superficial. Superficial Christianity is dangerous because people trust in those things, and those things cannot save you one bit. And so let us not trust in those things, but only Christ and Christ alone. And I'm not saying to your own conviction that it's bad to have these things, you know. But what I'm saying, don't trust in those things. That is not what makes me a Christian. Just because I have a Bible and tote it with me everywhere I go, that doesn't make me a Christian. I have a sticker in my car, if I had one. I used to have many times, but I took them away. I don't put them anymore. Okay? But that's my conviction, because I realized it was just superficial. What I need to do, or what I need to be, is salt and light. It's not what we wear or what we display, but it's how we live. It's not the talk, it's the walk that we live for Christ. And again, we only have one life to live. And that's why Christ reminds us of the importance of self-denial, taking up the cross and follow him fully. And this is what we must do, my dear ones, if we are to be followers of Christ. We need to also remind ourselves that as we find ourselves living for the Lord Jesus Christ, to remember that everything we have in life, no matter what it is, guess what? It's all going to perish. And the sad thing, we put so many emphasis on things that we have. Could be the iPhone, you know, the next one that comes out. It could be our vehicle, could be our home, could be something tangible that we have. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to have those things. We dealt with that last week. That God said, the Father know you need of these things, not so much the phone, but I'm talking about, you know, having a car and a home and a place to live. He knows you need these things. He knows, understand. But what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But the problem is, to some people, I mean, Facebook is their God. Pinterest is their God. This is their God. Or it could be a sports team is their God. And they give their whole, 100% for things that are temporal. What about things that are eternal? We put them in the back burner. But it doesn't work like that, my dear ones. Let us find ourselves living for Christ, not for ourselves. Not living for the things that will perish, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the whole aspect of our message in Mark 8 and verse 38. He says, whosoever will, and then he repeats it in verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And so we are warned by Christ regarding that awful danger, and if you wish, guilt of being ashamed of Jesus Christ and his words, which I believe is the Bible. One writer says, there are many ways of being ashamed of Christ. We are guilty of it whenever we are afraid of letting men that we love him, that we love his doctrine, that we love his precepts, his people, his ordinances. We are guilty of it whenever we allow fear, the fear of men, to prevail over us and to keep us back from letting others see that we are decided Christian. Whenever we act in this way, we are denying our master and committing a great sin. The wickedness of being ashamed of Christ is very great. It is a proof of unbelief. It shows that we care more for the praise of men whom we can see than of God whom we cannot see. It is a proof of ingratitude. It shows that we fear confessing him before men and that we are ashamed. Wretched indeed are they who give away to this sin. Here in this world, they are always miserable. A bad conscience robs them of peace. In the world to come, they can look for no comfort. In the day of judgment, they may expect to be disowned by Christ to all eternity if they will not confess Christ for a few years upon the earth. Let us resolve never to be ashamed of Christ. Never to be ashamed of Christ and of his cause. We have no right to be ashamed of him at all. Boldness in Christ's service always brings its own reward. The boldest Christian is always the happiest man, unquote. And amen to that. And so Christ makes it very clear. Again, he succinctly, so clearly laid down the essence of what it means to be a Christian so that nobody would be deceived and say, what I didn't know, no. He's very clear. This is why I often say, you know, when people complain about Christianity, I have a real simple answer. Then don't call yourself a Christian. It comes with a cost. It comes with a cost. It comes with a cost of taking up the cross and denying ourselves. And in doing this, we must never be ashamed of him. And as I said, this is the hardest part of being a Christian. But nonetheless, the most important aspect of our Christian walk. Because again, it's not what we say, what we wear, it's what we do and how we live. And so our Lord instructed us very clearly on the true essence of what Christianity, or yea, true Christianity, is all about. And may God seal these things to our hearts. Again, oh to God that we would never be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ, but again have that determination in our hearts never to deny our Christ in front of others. Again, there's too many that follow Christ or follow God with their lips, and their hearts are far from him. And the sad place that these nominal Christians are not ashamed of is in church. Well, it's easy not to be ashamed in church, isn't it? But what about your work? What about your house? What about your friends? What about your relatives? Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, many do not wholly follow the Lord, but only in lip service. And they do it for convenience sake. Reminds me of the words that Paul again wrote to Titus when he said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, as we said last week, I want to again just reemphasize, we can give people space to grow. We used again last week the example of Peter, and I think that's one of the greatest examples that can be used of Peter, that he denied Christ to save his own neck. But he, afterwards, he went out and he wept sorely and repented because he denied Christ. And that was before the Lord had even pricked his heart. He knew what he had done, and it broke his heart. If you read there, after Christ denied, after Peter denied Christ, they caught eyes. And if you read in the Gospels, that look of Christ, I know, broke his heart. He had just told him that day, Peter, and he was, oh, Lord, I'll never deny you. Lord, I'll die for you. I'll do this for you, Lord. You know, when we're around in church, we're going to do this and everything. And he was all alone by himself. That's when you know what if you're a true Christian or not. When you're all by yourself. Peter, stop it. You're going to deny me three times. No, I'm not, Lord. Others may, I won't. I'll give my life for you. Peter, you will deny me three times. No, I won't. Before the cock, three times. You will deny me thrice. And after the third time, Peter even cursed. And he heard the rooster. And it busted his heart. And of course, then he got eye contact with Christ. And he went out. And it says that he wept bitterly. He was so ashamed of himself. So again, we can give. I know we can give people the space. As we said last week, it doesn't mean that I was always as bold as I am now. There were times that I denied Christ by keeping quiet. When I knew I should have said something, and I didn't. But I tell you what, when you see Peter again, and again, as I said last week, I think this is why the Lord told Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. No, Peter, do you love me? You know, Peter would get a little bit frustrated. Yes, Lord. And then after the third time, no, Peter. Now, I'm not asking you to be my friend. Do you really love me? Yeah, Lord. Feed my sheep. And that's what Peter did. And Peter was never the same. See him on the day of Pentecost, and he could care less if they were going to kill him. They arrested him. He didn't care. Because then he finally said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So now you see that boldness, that passion. Peter no longer ashamed one bit, preaching, teaching Christ, even if it would cost him his life. And the day he died, the story goes on, that they were going to crucify him, the bride. And he thought it, I cannot. And he asked to be crucified upside down. Wow. He died for his master. Are you willing to die for your master? Are you willing to die for the gospel? You know, there's people still being put to death in the Middle East. Break the heart when you read stories. Read one the other day again. Parents lost their children because they wouldn't deny Christ. I would like to think what I would say, but I don't know what I would really do. Somebody has a gun in my head and a gun to my children and my grandchildren and say, if you deny Christ, let them go. Or these who say, Brother Joe, you're just weak in faith. Don't be a fool. That's right. You know why I say that? Because I don't have that grace yet. Amen. But I have to believe that God will enforce me with that grace that I would say, I cannot deny Christ. Can you imagine what it means to see my wife die, my children, my grandchildren? And we've heard even the shooting in Oregon. Are you a Christian? Pow! Wow. And so it's not easy, my dear ones, to be called a Christian. And I have a feeling it's not going to get better. God help us. God help us. Not to be ashamed of Christ. I mean, it's one thing to lose friends. I did. One thing to lose your job. And one thing to lose this or that. But to lose your family, your life, your loved ones. My. As I said years ago, I wasn't as bold, and I would always feel guilty when I would keep silent. But you grow. You grow. And all my point is, I give more space to young Christian, but don't tell me in the Lord 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you're still ashamed of Christ, you're still denying Christ, something's terribly wrong there. You better examine your heart, even whether you be in the faith. I'm sorry. We're not to be ashamed of Christ or of his gospel, as Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why? For therein is the righteousness of God declared. So in the gospel is the righteousness of God declared, and so Paul says, I'm not ashamed. As a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians 2:2, Paul says, but even after that we had suffered before men and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of Christ with much contention. So Paul was not ashamed of his Lord and Savior. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was bold in declaring these truths. Now, there's two verses on the other side of the coin. There's two verses that smote my heart regarding this issue of not being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can only share with you my experience and how the Lord dealt with me with these two verses in my heart to perhaps maybe help you not to be ashamed or deny the Lord Jesus Christ or being silent, even if it costs you your friends, perhaps even your job. My dear brethren, we must live our Christian life as conquerors, not as cowards. Not as cowards. God help us. Because we need to resolve in our heart, am I a conqueror or am I a coward? A coward is one that fears. A conqueror. My. We need to be conquerors. As I said last week, I lost all my close friends as I took a stand for Christ. But oh, as I said, he has blessed me with better friends, closer friends, that I'm so thankful for. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you even see that you need the strength of God and the grace of God, because at times it gets harder. Because it's not easy following Christ. It will cost you. Let me just say this. A Christianity that does not cost you anything is not the Christianity of the Bible. Maybe I should phrase it like this. A gospel that does not cost you anything is not the gospel of the Bible. It is another gospel, and another gospel will plunge your soul to hell. The gospel of the Bible is a true gospel, and I believe that the gospel of the Bible is a lordship gospel, because it will cost you something. The two verses that smote my heart are found in Hebrews, and we'll turn there in a little bit. But let me ask you a question as we turn there to Hebrews. Real simple question, those of you who are followers and professors of the Lord Jesus Christ, those of you who profess to follow him. Real simple question, but it's more of a rhetorical question, and the answer is real simple, really. But the question is, who is more faithful? Our Lord Jesus Christ or those who follow him? Who is more faithful? Well, no doubt that the unanimous answer, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is more faithful than what we are. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, faithful is he, that is Christ, who will call you and do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you. And then those blessed verses in Revelation 19:11, it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true. We're the ones who are unfaithful. And do you think the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't know that? You think he doesn't know when we are unfaithful? Or when we feel a little bit of shame of him? Or we deny him by keeping quiet? Well, if you're there in Hebrews chapter 2, we'll look at the first verse. To think that even as we give him many, many reasons to throw away the clay. I was going to ask you to sing that song this morning, Lalai. He doesn't throw the clay away. I'm so grateful he doesn't. Because I give my God many reasons to throw this wretched clay away. But aren't you thankful he doesn't throw the clay away?
Yes.
No matter how many reasons we give him, he doesn't throw the clay away. And this verse smote me years ago in Hebrews chapter 2:11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. And remember, these two verses, I speak for myself. I hope they make an impact on you too. In Hebrews 2:11, it says, "For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." That's my heart. Because I realized how many times I was unfaithful, how many times I denied him by being quiet, by being ashamed. And even in all my unfaithfulness, my Lord's not ashamed to call me his brother. Oh my. Even in all her unfaithfulness, Christ is never ashamed to call us his brethren. Praise the Lord. Oh, to God, that we would not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is faithful. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." He cannot deny himself.
Right.
Again, what a blessed verse to help us not be ashamed of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. "For both he that sanctified and they that were sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed." Not ashamed to call them brethren. In all my shortcomings, all my unfaithfulness, he is not ashamed to call me his brethren. Wow. And if he's not ashamed of us, oh my dear ones, let us not be ashamed of him either. Let us not be ashamed of calling him Lord. So that verse, the Lord used it to smite my heart. And the second one is also found in Hebrews chapter 12, 10 chapters later. And we are familiar with this text also. Hebrews chapter 12. At verse 1 it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and it sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." We're reminded in this text of those that went before us as a cloud of witnesses over us. And then we are reminded of laying aside the sin that can beset us. And then he tells us about running that race. And of course, we run this race by keeping our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is the beginner and the completer. He who is the perfecter of our faith. Again, who for the joy that was set before him, that he was going to bring many sons unto glory, that he would endure the cross, despising the shame. To consider all the joy that sustained the Lord Jesus Christ on his walk to Calvary. You know, you read verses like in John 12 when it speaks about that his soul was troubled. Preaching that about 3-4 years ago. It blows our mind to think that our Lord and Savior was troubled. Again, we have to bring in what is known as the hypostatic union of Christ. He was 100% man, 100% God and 100% man. Some of these things are so deep. And even in his being troubled, in his agony, and in his sorrow, yet he endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh, we get a little bit persecuted. Oh, Pastor Joe, oh, they persecute. Oh, come on. Grow up. Quit you like man. Grow up. We get a little persecuted, or somebody doesn't talk to us. They want to be our friends no more because we're Christians. We feel like we're being crucified. Oh, my dear ones. God help us. Go read church history. Go read what happened in the first three centuries to those that named the name of Christ. I remember Gordon used to come and tell us of those stories how the Christians were thrown to the lions. Can I imagine? Can you imagine as a parent seeing your children being torn apart by animals just because you profess Christ? Oh, no, no, no. No. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And in all of his soul's trouble, his sorrow, his agony, shame, he did this that he would bring many sons unto glory, to save his people from their sins to the glory of his God, that he would glorify the Father. One of the verses that really, every time I read it, you know, one of those verses, I speak for myself, you kind of put your head down and you just take your head and go, Lord, I don't understand this. Keep your finger there. Turn to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, in verse 6, I believe speaking about Christ, it says, let not them that wait on thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. And the reason I believe this is applied to Christ, if you drop down to verse 19, this is Christ. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame. My dishonor, my adversaries are all before thee. Reproach have broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. How do I know it's Christ? Because they gave me also gall for my meat, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. You see Christ hanging upon the cross, looking for one to pity him, one to comfort him. My dear one, these are deep things. Christ went to the cross, despising the shame. And you think that we who are called as followers would be ashamed of him? I mean, doesn't that smite your heart? Doesn't that break your heart to think that I would even be ashamed of my God? Back to Hebrews. To think we who are called His followers would be ashamed of Him. I use the words of Paul that he uses often in the book of Romans. God forbid! God forbid. But at best, we are all men of all our feet are what? Wretched clay. God help us to be bold as lions, not to be ashamed of our Lord and Savior. He is not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed to be called our brethren. And then when He went to the cross, again He despised the shame and willingly, lovingly, obediently gave Himself for us. And oh, how we are to magnify and praise His holy name. Yes, He who endured the humiliation of the cross, despising the shame, all because of His great love for us. Yes, Christ was determined to ransom our souls no matter what. I love that text in Matthew 26. And it says, "Then said He unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me." You know, John and Peter came, they just left. And the next verse, verse 39, "And He went a little further, and He fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, it be possible, lest this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." Don't tell me Christ didn't feel any agony on that cross. He went a little further. Aren't you glad He went a little further? Aren't you glad He's not like us? We give up so easily. But He went a little further. He went all the way to the cross, despising the shame. Aren't you glad that He didn't give up but willingly despised the shame of the cruel cross that He might bring many sons unto glory? Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. I mean, what can be more difficult for a man than to bear shame? Yet, Christ endured the cross for us. He despised the shame. He despised the shame that was heaped upon Him by man. He despised the shame of being made a curse for us. He despised the shame of being made sin for us. He despised the shame of our sin and guilt. What a great God we serve. He despised the shame of His abandonment when even the Father would forsake Him. My God, my God. And He did all this for you and for me. You can see now how this pricked my heart, huh? For being ashamed of Christ. Our Lord Christ never quit. He never gave up until He poured out His whole. Until He pressed all His, poured out all His precious blood unto death for us. Isaiah 56 says, "I gave My back to the smiters, and My cheeks that were plucked off My hair. I hid not My face from shame and spitting." Yet He endured everything to the end. He endured the wrath of man. He endured the wrath and justice of God. He endured the torments of His body, the agony of His soul, the tormenting of His soul. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrow. He was smitten and afflicted of God and was crucified between two thieves that is numbered between transgressors as He poured out His soul unto death, all because of the great love that He had for all those He would save. And so what more can be difficult than to bear than shame? But He despised the shame, counted it as nothing, that He might deliver us and save us from our sins. I like what A.W. Pink said. He says, quote, far more than he experienced the shame and pain of crucifixion. They tell us that he stood steadfast under it all. He endured the cross, not sullenly or even stoically, but in the highest and noblest sense of the term, with holy composure of soul. He never wavered nor faltered, never murmured or complained. The cup which my Father given me, shall I not drink it? Did he not leave us an example that we should follow? Right. To follow in his steps.
Amen.
Unquote. These two verses in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 12, caused me to realize that I should never be ashamed of my Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Christ, again, gives us that fearful and sobering warning to all who are professors of him. Not to be ashamed. I hope you have finally put my message together. I hope you've connected the dots. Real simple. If you haven't, I'll do it for you real quickly. You see, the heart of the matter is, if we live the life that we are called to live, that is, if we deny ourselves, carry the cross, and follow him, then we will not be ashamed of him. I mean, how can you be ashamed of him if you deny yourself? How can you be ashamed of him if you carry the cross? And how can you be ashamed of him, really, if you follow him? If you do these things God, Christ calls us to do, we shall never, I believe, never be ashamed of him. Again, I call upon Pink. He says, quote, the first step toward a daily following of Christ is the denying of self. There is a vast difference, brethren and sister, between denying self and so-called self-denial. You know, all the philosophers and philosophical books out there. There is a big difference between denying self and self-denial. The popular idea that obtains both in the world among Christians is that giving up the things that we'd like. There's a great diversity of opinion as to what should be given up. There are some who would restrict it to that which is characteristic worldly, such as theater going, dancing, the race course. There are others who were restricted to certain seasons when amusement and other things which are followed during the remainder of the year that are rigidly eschewed at that time. But such methods as those only foster spiritual pride. For surely I deserve some credit if I give up so much. My friends, what Christ is speaking of in our text, and oh, may the Spirit of God apply to our souls this morning, as the first step toward following him, is the denial of self. Of self itself. Not simply things that are pleasing to self. Not some things after which self hankers. But denying of self itself. What does that mean? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It means in the first place, abandoning his own righteousness. What it means, far more than that, that is only the first meaning. It also means refusing to rest upon my own wisdom. It means far more than that. It means ceasing to insist upon my own rights. It means repudiating of self itself. It means ceasing to consider our own comfort, our own ease, our own pleasure, our own aggrandizement, our own benefit. It means being done with self. It means, beloved, saying with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is not self, but Christ. For me to live is to obey Christ. For me to live is to serve Christ. For me to live is to serve Christ. Amen. To spend myself for him. That's what it means. We must let self be repudiated. Be done with it. In other words, it is what you have in Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Unquote. I think Mr. Pink hit it on the nail. I mean, you want to live a life that you will not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you must love the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with a fixed affection, with a fixed passion, with a fixed devotion by denying yourself, taking up the cross, and following him wholeheartedly. Again, my dear ones, I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times. There are no shortcuts in Christianity. None. But people want to take shortcuts. And then we have the testimonial of the Apostle Paul before he was put to death. In 2 Timothy 1, Turn there real quickly. We start bringing this to an end. In 2 Timothy 1, we preached on this before, but I want to share it with you again. What a glorious testimony before he died. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, may this encourage you to follow Christ wholeheartedly. That you can say with Paul, I know whom I believe in. Anyway, 1 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. My. That we can say again with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed because I know in whom I have believed. I know him. I know the person of Christ. Amen. And if we have preached before, he is my beloved and I am his. He is my friend. He is the chief that is among 10,000. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my Lord. And I am totally convinced, persuaded that he is able to keep my soul, my never dying soul, which I've committed unto him. Amen. I mean, if that does not motivate you, my dear ones, not to be ashamed of Christ, then shame on you. Amen. He emptied himself for you. He took all the suffering, all the pain for you. He was humiliated for your sake. He was slapped. He was spat on. He was beaten to a bloody pulp. They plucked his beard. They whipped him 39 times. They put a painful crown of thorns upon his head. He suffered the wrath of man in the first 3 hours. And in the second 3 hours, he suffered the wrath of God in darkness. He suffered the wrath and justice of God. Jesus Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? The joy that was set before him, that would bring many sons unto glory. How glorious is that, my dear ones? And they think this is a book about fairy tales. Oh, God, have mercy on their souls. God, help us. Because Christ does say, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, in his Father's, and of the holy angels. We'll read one more text. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Let's just begin at verse 32. There's a lot here, but we'll drop down to verse 32. Matthew 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before man, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before man, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That is the essence of Christianity. I hope you understand that. And so as I conclude this morning, let me end by saying, I don't know where you are this morning. And if you sit here this morning, you're outside of Christ, I pray that you would come in repentance and faith, that you would come to Christ, give him your heart, give him your soul, give him your devotion, give him your allegiance, give him your life. Follow Christ. Give him your heart. Do it now. What are you waiting for? You're going to die one day. Right. Do it now. Before you hit those doors, give your heart, give your life to Christ. That's the best thing you can ever do. Everything else is temporary. You will go from the realm of temporary to the realm of those things that are eternal. Right. Do it now. What do you wait for? I don't understand that. I can imagine those in the towers of 911 that the towers are burning and there's the fires are coming and then they're telling people to escape for their lives. Oh, man, I'll get down to the next floor in a minute. You know, I'll just think about it. Let me think. Do I really want to? And no, they be running. They're already running. And you sit here. You don't even run to Christ. One day you're going to die.
Right.
And then what? When you die, you can't run to Christ.
No. Too late.
Die without Christ means dying without mercy. There's no mercy in hell.
No.
Oh, my dear ones, come to Christ this morning.
Today.
Follow Him. Right. Today is the day of salvation. Do it now. I don't know what you're waiting for. We're going to die one day. And then it'll be too late to follow Him. Do it now while you're still alive and breathing. You have life. And if you profess Christ this morning, if you're a follower, and for some reason, whether it be sin, besetting sin, you've left your first love, come to Him also in repentance. Get your heart right with Him. He will forgive you. He is just and right to forgive us of our sins, but come and confess to Him. Do what David did. Remember what David did there in Psalms 51? Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out not my iniquities. Or excuse me, blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold with me with thy free spirit. You can come and get your heart right with God before you leave this auditorium. And so, my dear ones, let us never, oh God help us, never be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed of His Bible either. He said, of me or my words. And you know how it is out there. Any little topic. Any little topic, and all of a sudden, you believe in the Bible. Oh, you believe in that foolishness. God help us. Let us then, with fixed hearts, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him wholeheartedly with that fixed allegiance cemented in that holy passion to follow and love Him and serve Him all the days of my life. Let us pray. Glorious God and Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that You would speak to our heart, both saved and lost. To those that are outside Christ, oh Lord, don't let them again go another Sunday in, Sunday out, without calling unto You for salvation. And those this morning that name the name of Christ, that have struggled, perhaps even been ashamed of Thee, Lord, have denied You, restore their hearts like You did David, and bless them, and make them fierce lions, bold as lions, to take up the cross of Calvary and not being ashamed. And so, God, help us to follow You, deny ourselves, take up the cross. And so, God, we look and we ask these things in Your blessed and holy name. Amen.